Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Questions from the Audio Road. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford, and I'll be taking your calls and answering your questions for the next hour or so. Lisa is here with us, screening calls and keeping things light and fun. If you want to join in, simply press 1 on your phone, and Lisa will be right with you. This is the show that puts the money where it belongs, back in your pocket. Sit back, relax, and listen, or jump in and ask your question. You can even bring us your opinion. It's up to you. This is your show. You can ask questions about fuel mileage, tires, engine, EGR, aerodynamics, truck specking, maintenance, taxes, financial planning, getting started as an owner-operator, or anything else about the business of trucking. Here we go. Let's head on down the audio road.
Hi, this is Lisa. Remember to talk to Kevin, press 1 so I can pick up the phone and screen your calls. You know you'd rather talk to me anyway. Or just sit back, relax, and listen to the show. And at any time you have a question, just hit 1 and I'll pick up the phone.
Good evening and welcome to Questions from the Audio Road. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. Lisa is here screening your calls. With me tonight will be my special guest, Rocco Davanzo from Landstar. We'll be getting to that in just a little bit. If you're listening online and you want to join us live on the call, you might want to pick up the phone pretty quick because the lines are filling up rapidly. Here's the number, 347-884-8327. Once you're on the call, you can sit back and listen, or if you want to jump in with a question, a comment, a topic, whatever it might be, just press 1 on your phone. You'll get to talk to Lisa first, and then we'll get to those calls here live on the air in just a couple minutes. As always, on Wednesday night, I want to go through what's going on in the market, and I will tell you that, let me also tell you, we are in Dallas for the Great American Truck Show. And, you know, you've heard me talking about the technology that we're using and building the mobile studio. And we've been testing the equipment for quite some time in a lot of different ways with different internet connections and different setups and different configurations and trying to find the very best way to do this. In the beginning, I thought it was going to be as easy as just hiring somebody who knew what they were doing. And what I didn't realize was there really isn't anybody in the country doing what it was we were trying to do. It didn't seem like it should have been that much of a stretch. I guess maybe it seemed that way because I didn't, you know, really know what was going on in radio. In my mind, it seemed like it should have been fairly simple. I thought somebody would have been doing it already and we could just pay somebody and buy the equipment. Well, it turns out nobody is really doing live talk radio with a call-in audience from a mobile setup or even a remote setup without a lot of prior planning to set up the technology, and it was really done just as an event. And there was a lot of things that had to happen up front, a lot of planning that had to go into it. We want to be able to do it just as the norm anytime we want. So we've been working on the technology for quite some time now. This week at GATS is really kind of what I would call our first solo flight. We've been in the motorhome for about a month now doing the show, changing the configuration, changing some of the equipment we're using and the way we're doing it. We try to make sure that when we go live every week, even though we're changing equipment, it doesn't change the experience for you, the listener. So we've tried to make it as seamless as possible, but in the background, we've been changing and scrambling, and every show it seems like I'm getting ready to go on the air wondering, is this going to work this time the way we've got it set up? But in the month that we've been testing in the motorhome, we've always had a backup. We've always been parked somewhere where we had a wired internet connection coming out of a building. It was kind of our fail-safe, and many nights during the month we had to use that backup to make sure that the connection was good and everything was working right. This week is our first solo. We are in a very nice campground on the lake in Grapevine, Texas, and we have no wired internet connection. We have no backup. We are completely self-contained in the motorhome tonight for tonight's show, and we will be all week long. So but I think we've got it. I mean, I think we've put enough time and effort into testing that I feel pretty confident that everything is going to work great tonight. But I thought I'd let you know that this is our first solo flight, self-contained with all the technology tonight. So thanks for joining us. All right, let's get to the market and what is going on. Let me just kind of give you a rundown of what we've seen in the market so far this year. Kind of give you a history of where we've been, and I really don't try to predict where we're going anymore. It's been such a crazy couple of years. We all know what happened in 08 and 09. Just a couple of horrible years as far as freight went. And starting in really maybe the end of January of this year, we really started to see the index climb. And I measure two different indexes, and I also read a couple other reports just to kind of fill in the gaps. But I follow the market demand index, which is put out by the Internet Truck Stop, and I also monitor transport trend lines. Both of those are two of the largest internet load boards in the country. So they've got the data on what's being posted for loads and what's being posted for trucks. So they report on both. Now, the market demand index is a measure of the two compared to each other. How many trucks are there compared to how many loads there are as well? So we like to see the number as high as possible. The higher the number, the better it is for us, the people with the trucks. So if we go back to before everything crashed, we were up in the 13 range, is where we peaked before everything started to drop. And then all through 08 and 09, we literally spent below 4. Very, very low on the index. Now, in the end of January of this year, the index started to climb and virtually climbed every week all the way up to the end of March. We peaked at about 12.4 the end of March going into second quarter. Second quarter at the beginning, we saw some decline, pretty typical for the beginning of a quarter. And then towards the end of the quarter, we had some increases. We were climbing again. And then at the end of May, beginning of June, things kind of fell apart, and it started to drop. Now, some of it was expected, just a seasonal thing. As June kind of winds down, June is usually a peak month for freight, and then things start to wind down. But we saw a really sharp decline for a lot of weeks, too many weeks as far as I was concerned. And it looks like now maybe we've found the bottom again of where we're going to drop. And I'm looking at just a pattern thinking maybe that's where we are. We dropped all the way down to 7. And 7 is kind of a critical number. If we stay above 7, we have some negotiation power. If we drop below 7, it really, the balance of power falls to the shippers more so below 7. And we found the bottom right at 7. Now we've had a couple weeks up and a couple weeks where we're more or less flat, which indicates that we may settle in here now, and then towards the end of this quarter, we may start to see some increase from this point. So that's looking pretty good. On the market demand index for rates, they are showing rates this past week down just slightly. We're really kind of flat on this index, which isn't necessarily a bad thing for this time of year. I actually take it as a good sign. We're down to $1.87 for overall rates. We are down 2% on van rates to $1.66. Flatbed rates down 2% to $1.71. Reefer rates were flat at $1.99. Specialized rates were down 0.5% to $2.12. If we take a look at the load-to-truck ratios and what's going on over on Transcor, all of the numbers I've given you so far are from the Internet Truck Stop Market Demand Index. If we look at Transcor for the week of August 15th through the 21st, the spot market load index, Transcor measures theirs separately first, and then I'll get to some of the ratios. The load index was down 6.7% for the week, but the truck index was also down 15% for the week, which is a good thing. That would mean that overall we're in better shape, because remember, we really don't care the total amount of freight available. We really care about how much freight is available in comparison to how many trucks are available. So load index is down 6.7%, but truck index is down 15%. That means less trucks on the road chasing slightly less freight. So overall, it was actually a good week. If we look at the dry van load to truck ratio for the week of August 15th through the 21st, we're up 6.4% for the week. We compared July to June, we're down 21%, but again, that's not unexpected. That's pretty normal seasonal volume changes. If we look at year over year, July 2010 versus July 2009, the dry van load to truck ratio is up 220%. So overall good when we figure in seasonally what goes on in the summer. We're back to a slightly more of a normal trend. I know I was sounding a little worried there for a couple weeks when it seemed like it was in a free fall, but it's looking like it's leveling out. Flatbed load to truck ratio for the week, up 14% week over week, down 35% month over month, but up 249% year over year. If we look on the reefer side, the week-to-week load-to-truck ratio up 7.5%, month-over-month down 22%, year-over-year up 286%. So things are pretty normal as far as the patterns go right now, for month-to-month, week-to-week, and year-over-year, we're way up, well over 200% in all categories. So freight is actually looking pretty good again. Just to give you an idea what was going on with fuel prices, they're down 0.7%, less than 1% week-over-week. They're down 1.2% month-over-month, and up 15%. If we look at year over year. If you've got any questions about any of those numbers, let's look at a couple other things real quick. You know that the more time we spend talking about these rates and comparing different numbers and different indexes, I get a lot of emails from people telling me that they're really starting to understand freight volume and freight pricing better. That's why on Wednesday night I do like to spend some time on this. And the reports are actually getting better. They keep adding to the numbers they report for us. Here's another measure we get to look at. Dry van, we can look for year over year, we can look at spot market rates and also contract rates. And it's kind of interesting to watch those. And I know the last time that Rocco was on with me, Rocco and I talked about the difference between retail plus discounts in fuel and, no, I'm sorry, retail minus discounts and cost plus discounts, and how they're very different in the way that they move, and how sometimes we can tell what's going on by watching the two. Contract rates and spot market rates can tell us the same thing sometimes. Contract rates, almost self-explanatory. When we sign a long-term contract for a rate, 3 months, 6 months, a year, 18 months, whatever it might be, and we lock in a rate for that entire time frame to move the same loads or to move with the same shipper, depending on how the contract is written, we've locked in a price over a long period of time. That's a contract rate. So as a carrier, you've got to be very good at locking in those rates, and you really should know what the trends are, and you don't always want to lock in a long-term contract. Sometimes it's really nice to know that's our rate, but if rates are on their way up and you lock in a rate at a lower number because that's what's going on today, well, you could lose out on a lot of potential revenue coming up. On the other hand, if you're able to lock in at today's rates and then we see a trend down, that's a good thing, but you've got to be careful on that. So looking at spot market rates, what a spot market rate is really what's moving day to day on the load boards. That's the best way for us to get those kind of rates. Doesn't always mean that every one of those loads move through a load board. It just could be a negotiated everyday kind of thing, but it's not long-term set prices. So watching the spot market gives us an idea of what's going on in the short term with rates, what direction they're heading in. So right now, the contract rate, if we look at year over year, July 2010 versus July 2009, the contract rates are up 3.1%. That's not all that much when you consider what's been going on in freight between this year and last year. I mean, we know the indexes are up 200% as far as volume. The rates are only up 3.1% on the contract side. On the spot market side, they're up 19% year over year. So that's another good number to really start to learn and pay attention to. That was dry van. If we look at reefer, the reefer contract rates year over year, up 2.3%. And the spot market rates, up 2.7%. So again, kind of interesting to see what's going on as far as what rates are compared to what they were a year ago, knowing that volume is up so much. If we look at flatbed rates, contract rates on the flatbed side up 6.9% year over year, and spot market rates up 13%. So looking at those numbers right now on the spot market year over year, actually dry vans are doing better than just about anybody, but they also took a pretty tough hit when we were down in rates a year ago. All right, if you've got any questions about those, again, I know I spend quite a bit of time on them, but I think the more time I spend on those, the more you'll start to understand how those trends work and what kind of things we can learn from those rates. In fact, I'm putting together a webinar and a podcast where I will spend an entire hour just on the rates and the indexes and looking at these numbers and kind of explaining what each one means and how to pay attention to the trends. What it might mean when spot market rates are going down and contract rates are going up, or vice versa. Similar to what we did with Rocco the last time he was on, and we may even do that again because that was kind of interesting as well. Let's get to some phone calls again. If you're listening online, you can try dialing in, but the lines are full. Every now and then one opens up if you want to try dialing in. 347-884-8327. If you're on the call, at any time you can press 1, and Lisa will screen your calls. If you've got a question, a comment, a topic, whatever it might be, And let's welcome onto the show Rocco Davanzo from Landstar. Rocco, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Kevin. I appreciate being on again tonight.
Well, great to have you on. And real quick, why don't you kind of let everybody know what it is when you hang out at Landstar every day that you're doing?
Well, I am Landstar's Executive Vice President of Agent and Capacity Development, and in this context, that means that I have responsibilities for Landstar's owner-operator recruiting functions. And so in addition to the recruiting functions, we also have, as you know, and we've talked about it before, we also have a fairly extensive and long-term training program for our BCOs, our owner-operators as well, and I have responsibility for those programs.
You've also been you spent a lot of years in the program that's set up. You guys have different terms for things. The way you do things is different in a lot of ways, and you have programs set up like your owner-operators are BCOs, business capacity owners, and you have a program set up to help with your buying power by putting all of your BCOs together and the size of Landstar, and you go out and negotiate prices, the LCAP program. What does that stand for, by the way?
LCAP stands for Landstar Contractors Advantage Purchasing Program, and it's basically a voluntary buying co-op that does exactly what you said, Kevin. Pools a combination of Landstar's company purchases and our fleet of BCOs purchases, and we take those numbers and leverage the volume with our vendors in exchange for discounts, and we've been very, very successful, as you know. Most of our BCOs know, very successful doing that over the years.
Yeah, that's quite a bit of buying power out there on the market, and it, really anybody in the industry, all the vendors, all the products. I mean, your program is well known because of the sheer volume of BCOs that you have and the sheer volume of business that you do as a company. And one of the things we always look at here on the show is there's two ways to make more money in their business. One, increase revenue, which is a tougher thing to do, but we've talked about how it's possible to do that in your system. And then the way that I've always worked on first because it's easier, is we decrease expenses. Every penny we don't have to spend, every dollar we don't have to spend because we're able to buy something cheaper or we're able to buy something smarter, that's all money in our pocket. And Landstar has been very successful at helping on both ends of that equation, and you really spent a lot of time in the LCAP program.
Yes, I was there almost from the start, Kevin, and then I spent 12 years in that department, and it was very rewarding. It was meaningful work, appreciated by the BCOs who participated in the program, and I really enjoyed doing that for the time that I did it.
Excellent. Now, this week, what we're talking about specifically, and I do want to come back to some of those things, because there really are a lot of opportunities, and I think it's tough to kind of grasp all the things that are possible within the system, and we'll come back to that. But this week, what we want to talk about specifically, because it's going on starting tomorrow and we're here, is what Landstar is doing at the Great American Truck Show here in Dallas. Why don't you give us a quick rundown?
Well, I will tell you, we are at booth 12050, and we would love to have folks stop by over the next couple of days. That booth is up near the Pride and Polish stage. And again, the number 12050. And it's a great opportunity to take a couple of minutes, talk with somebody there, learn a little bit about Landstar. We can show you how our load board works. We can talk to you about freight out of your favorite areas, out of your hometown. You'll often find a number of current Landstar BCOs hanging around there. You can ask them questions. That's a great way to learn about any company, is to talk to people who are already there. So we always get good traffic to our site, both interested owner-operators and our currently leased-on owner-operators, or BCOs as we call them.
You know, I've often said that when you're considering Landstar, you really have to spend some time understanding the differences. You know, many, many carriers that people have leased onto over the years, really so many things are the same. That when you switch companies, it's a different trailer and it's a different phone number, but everything else kind of works the same. I mean, in this industry, once you've been contracted to somebody, you kind of know the drill. You've got a fleet manager, a dispatcher, whatever they want to call them this month, but it's really the guy you've got to call on the phone every day, and he tells you what loads are available or where you're going next. And other than that, not all that much changes. I mean, from carrier to carrier, things are pretty similar. I try to make it clear to people that if you're considering Landstar, you really need to look at what's different. And this being at the truck show is a great opportunity to be able to spend time hands-on with the people here at Landstar and look at how their system works. You know, sometimes we have to deal with things on the phone just because of this business. We're all over the country. But when you get an opportunity and you can sit down with somebody and they can show you, I mean, they have the capability of showing the freight system and all of those things here at the show.
Yes, I'm sorry. I misunderstood you for a second there. Kevin, you had a moment of silence in radio.
Well, I didn't put a question mark at the end of my sentence there. I kind of finished as a statement instead of a question.
Well, I was thinking as you were talking, and I inadvertently demonstrated it.
Yeah.
I am a very, very visual person, and you can explain something to me 100 times, and sometimes it just doesn't click. And I'll see it the first time and go, oh,
I get it.
An opportunity like a truck show to sit down with someone and look as opposed to hear and see and touch it yourself and manipulate the filters that we have so you can, instead of looking at today's 7,000 loads, you can look at the loads that are coming out of Birmingham, Alabama today and really drill that down, you know, by trailer type. I don't have the words to describe that as effectively as walking up and having someone show that to you and letting you touch it and try it for yourself. There's the cliche, a picture is worth 1,000 words, is very, very true. In my case, a picture might be worth more than 1,000 words, as I demonstrated there. But that's why we're there. It's absolutely we want people to come by with their questions and take a test drive.
So two things I always tell people when I talk about helping people get into the business, when I talk about helping them choose a carrier, which, you know, many of us will do multiple times while we're in the business, and one of them you mentioned, and that is we can listen to recruiting, we can read all the stuff, and that's all good. We want to look at turnover rate, and there's a bunch of other factors we want to look at. But ultimately, my final step in that process is I want to talk to as many people that are contracted to that company as possible. And if I can find somebody who used to be contracted to that company and isn't anymore, I want to talk to them too.
Sure.
Because I can learn a lot from somebody who may have left. And what I learn isn't always negative. Many times I'll talk to somebody about a particular carrier and say, why did you leave? Their reason for leaving can sometimes be the exact reason why I want to be there. You know, and in a system like Landstar's, you really do want to talk to as many of the BCOs, as their owner-operators, as possible. And again, the truck show is a great place to do it because your BCOs know there's a lot going on at the truck shows with Landstar. You guys even do your safety training here, don't you?
We have a safety meeting in the afternoon. We have some business training that takes place in the afternoon. The folks there at the booth can tell you all about that, including the locations and times of those events. But it's not just about prospective, you know, Landstar owner operators like we're talking about tonight. It's a welcome to our current BCOs as well.
So they'll get a chance to do two, both of the things that I talk about. When you're interested in a carrier, even if you're just kind of, you know, kicking the tires right now, thinking about it, this is a great opportunity to be able to tackle both of those things. Sit down face-to-face with somebody, look at the system, talk to a lot of owner-operators that are already there in an atmosphere that you've got time and there's a lot of resources there. And we keep kind of mentioning the difference. You know, I said many carriers really are the same. The big difference behind Landstar is that you really do run your own business. You don't have a dispatcher or a fleet manager that is going to dictate where you're going or wants to know why you're not, you know, available to work on Monday or only offers a couple loads and says, you know, here's what you've got, take it or take it. And in your system, you really do run your own business. And I try to stress that to people that you need to understand that difference and understand what that really means, how much freedom you're going to have to run this thing the way you want to run it.
You said the word there, Kevin, the magic word, and the big difference is freedom. And that's something that Landstar really stresses. That's something we believe we do better than anyone else. Our system is a network of Landstar sales agents, also independent business people who go out and meet with shippers, solicit their business, are tendered loads, and they take that load that they're tendered and they've accepted, and they use Landstar's proprietary software to download that information on the load into Landstar's computers. That is then fed out to the internet, and our BCOs get to look at all of the available loads. And I mentioned a little while ago, there is thousands of those loads. So we've built some great tools to help you sort through the thousands to find the one that you want. You can do that live every day as you sit, or we have a tool where you can go in there and set yourself up an alert. I used the Birmingham example a minute ago. I am traveling to Birmingham. I'm going to be there Friday, I want to see what's scheduled to come out of Birmingham Friday. I set up a load. I've got a flatbed, put all that in. Now I'm free to operate my business safely. I can drive down the road. I can concentrate on my driving. Meanwhile, this system is constantly searching through the available loads, and when it finds one that matches my requirements out of Birmingham, maybe headed to Chicago, maybe headed to Dallas, maybe headed to Charlotte, whatever I put in there, it's going to send me an email, a voicemail, or both, and give me the pertinent information I need to make that decision. Is that the load that I want? So it's sort of like having your own private dispatcher, that only you don't have to worry about whether he or she's going to show up today. There's no vacation time. There's no health care. There's no sick time. It's working 24 hours a day.
Can I, in those load alerts, and one of the, this is one of the things that's really nice to be able to sit down and see, because to try to describe this kind of technology is sometimes a little challenging, but I use a lot of similar systems, load, or search tools and things like that, where we can set a lot of different criteria. And you just mentioned some, like it's coming out of a certain city on a certain day, going to a certain city. Can I put in rate information?
Absolutely. In fact, we feel like that's what drives it. That's what makes it more effective than some of the other sites out there. You say, I don't want to see anything that pays me less than $2.50 a mile. Don't bother. And it'll just sort through those, Birmingham to Charlotte, $2.50 a mile or more for your flatbed, and you'll get the voicemails and the emails.
That is huge, because I do a ton of load searching. I even teach, you know, a course on how to use the for somebody who's truly independent, they don't have a dispatcher at all. I mean, there is a lot you have to do to run that business, and I try to teach people how to use the tools, the technology that's available. But the one thing that's really missing on all those load boards is, I would say, less than 5% of the loads posted have a rate attached to them. They're just, you have the details. You have to call to get the rate.
Sure.
And we really, you have to go through a lot of loads to find the one that's paying the rate that you want. You know, you might call the first 10 loads, and they're just not paying what you want to move in that lane. And that's just a big gap. There's no way around that. We have to spend a lot of time calling and talking to brokers and trying to get a rate that we're happy with. And in your system, the rates are always there, right?
That's correct. And in our system, the BCOs are paid on a percentage, and that's constant from load to load to load. So you can do the quick math and know if the load gross from the customer is $1,000, you're going to get your percentage of that.
And because it's constant, those guys know that in their head. I mean, anybody who's been in your system for, you know, even just a couple of weeks already knows, you almost do the math in your head. I need the load to pay this because I need to get this. So the ability to go in and say, okay, here's what I'm looking for as far as logistics, but here's what I want as far as rate. I mean, because that's what this is all about anyway. And if something comes up that is above this number, I want a load alert, and they get it immediately. And it really makes for very efficient load planning, even long term. I see we've got, we're going to have to get some calls here pretty quick because we're burning through the time. But I see we've got Hugh on, and I know I've talked to Hugh at times, and he's planned out, you know, sometimes more than a week in advance where he's going.
What's the cliche? Nobody plans to fail. We sometimes fail to plan.
Absolutely. And let's get to the questions. I know I could, there's a bunch of stuff I'd still like to talk about, but let's jump in and knock some of these questions out. Hugh in California, welcome to the program.
Not a question so much, Kevin. Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm planned out nearly 2 weeks right now. I'm picking up tomorrow in San Bernardino, delivering in Ohio Monday, picking up in Illinois Tuesday, going to wind up in Texas Thursday. I don't know what I'm going to do after that, but that gets me out a little bit more than a week. Good pay and loads. I try to find the good pay and loads in advance. What's the old expression? A bird in the hand is worth leading a gift horse to water or something like that. But, two in the bush. Two in the bush. That's it.
There we
bird
go.
In the hand is worth two in the bush. And I find that as long as I keep my boat my loads booked ahead, I find the best ones and go ahead and jump on them. And if there's a problem comes up, a mechanical problem or a load drops off, just communicate with the agents. They understand that happens. They repost the loads and get them covered again. But I found that to be a very effective tool, just booking loads in advance. Rocco, what's the near future looking like for Landstar right now?
Well, that's a very open-ended question, Hugh.
I'm good at that. It makes you look good if you know the answer.
Well, I will tell you that our load volumes through July and August have remained very strong. Kevin mentioned a really sharp decline in late June, early July. We didn't see that other than the normal holiday shutdowns. We didn't see anything that I would call a really sharp decline, and we're still running 10 to 15% ahead of last year in terms of load volumes for July and August, and revenue is up 30% in that time frame, so that means we're getting improved rates as well.
Now, I assume that the contract customers, that's an ongoing process. I imagine there's some customer just about every day whose contract is up for renewal. Are the contract rates that we're signing up for right now for the next contract period of 6 months, a year, however it is, are they appreciably up?
Hugh, that's going to vary by customer.
Yeah.
And that's the only way I can answer that. That will vary widely by customer, by trailer type, by geographic. But on the whole, on the average, our rates are up significantly.
Great. Hey, just a word sort of advertisement for anybody who may be considering Landstar. Next month will make 5 years that I've been at Landstar. And in those 5 years, I've gone through a lot of stuff, you know, just life and trucking. And I'll tell you, there's not been many companies that I've ever been associated with that's been that works with me and keeps me in business the way Landstar has. And I'm planning on this being a very long-term relationship.
Thank you, Hugh.
All right, Hugh, good talking to you. Let's move along. Let's go to Illinois. Jeff, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kevin.
Hey there.
I was calling. I've been listening about Landstar, and the company that I've been pulling tanks for lost their biggest customer, and business kind of dried up. So when I was at Louisville, I stopped by the booth and talked to some people and been checking out Landstar and thought I was kind of interested in getting my own truck again and maybe leasing on the Landstar. I've been driving over the road for 15 years and was kind of concerned that since I'd been pulling a tank and I'd been going out and back, which is pretty much what our customers, we deliver to them, and then we always bring the tank back and wash them out after every load. I was kind of concerned that because I pulled a tank that you guys might not be interested or whatever. And they said, oh, no, that's not a problem. But then when I talked to the recruiter said that because I pulled a tank and I was basically home every night if I wanted to be, that they weren't really interested in me because they said that I basically had to spend 5 nights a week out in the truck. And I love the whole freedom thing, and I love the business model of Landstar, but I just don't understand that if you're able to pick your loads and do whatever you want to do, that maybe you want to pick loads that run from where I'm at to Chicago every day and just bounce back and forth and be home every night. And I just was kind of perplexed at why, if we have the freedom to pick our loads and do what we want to do and be our own boss, that they weren't interested in someone who, had 15 years experience, zero accidents on their record, and, had gotten to a place where I thought that I had a really good job and was home every night to boot, so.
Well, I'll answer that as best that I can, Jeff. We don't have a 5 nights a week requirement anywhere. We do have a minimum 6 months of verifiable over-the-road driving. Now, I don't know what route you were running or all of that information, but if maybe Lisa can get some information from you after the call here, I can talk to you. I don't suppose you're anywhere near Dallas today.
No,
okay.
I'm back in Illinois.
We can follow up with you. I said I can. I'm not the real expert in that, but I'll have someone follow up with you and just make sure that we gave you the right answer to those questions as it applies to your specific situation.
Okay. I just thought that was kind of an odd reason to, just out of hand, basically, say, because I talked to two different recruiters, because after I got the first answer, I was like, well, that doesn't make sense. So I called back, talked to a different one, and she basically said the same thing. So I was just like, well, I guess, I'll just look someplace else. But
yeah, again, we don't have any 5-night requirement there, but I just to satisfy my own curiosity, I'd like to make sure we were giving you the right answers. There and maybe we misunderstood your question or what you were telling us too. So if we can grab a phone number for us to call you at tomorrow, we'll be happy to do that.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Hey, Jeff, I'm going to put you back on hold, and Lisa is listening, I'm assuming. Usually she is, unless she's busy screening another call. She'll pick back up. In fact, she already has all the information, so Rocco will get that forwarded to you so you can follow up on that.
Sure.
Let's go to Illinois. Richard, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Kevin. I got a question for Rocco.
Hello, okay. Richard.
Hey, my question is this. Kevin often talks about how important trailer tires are when it comes to rolling resistance and everything. So as a BCO that doesn't want to get a trailer because I find that the rates that I like to run are normally drop and hook, is there any conversation or debate about ordering new trailers with super singles?
Great question. I will tell you, I'll answer it this way. We have to begin complying with California's Air Resources Board. We call them CARB. They've got some requirements in place that are going to require trucking companies to run trailers that have certain aerodynamic and fuel-saving features. I don't believe, Richard, that super single tires are a part of those requirements. I do believe, if I'm remembering correctly, that we have a test of those in our system right now. We're running about 50 of those to see what the tire costs work out to be. I think Rocco personally believes that that's a good product and that there are advantages to that product in addition to fuel, enough advantages that it may be a good decision for Landstar, but I haven't seen those numbers, and to be honest with you, I don't make that decision.
Okay.
Rocco, let me jump in real quick on that, because you did mention the requirements in California, and although they're not mandating wide singles, part of the mandate is a low rolling resistance tire. I've tried to get some details on that, but getting details that make any sense out of CARB can just be an absolute nightmare. One of the requirements of those trailers is that they have a low rolling resistance tire. So it may not be a wide single, but it is a factor that's part of the requirements.
And I know we have, as a result of that mandate, we have some trailers in our system now that have the you call them fender skirts, the under?
Yeah, right, the side skirts.
The BCO is the beneficiary of all of that stuff in our system. Landstar doesn't benefit from improved fuel mileage. The person driving the truck benefits from the improved fuel mileage, and that's going to be our BCO. So that's the way the world seems to be headed. Is toward more fuel-efficient equipment, and our BCO fleet is going to be the beneficiary of those trends.
Okay, thank you for the info.
All right, thanks, Richard.
All right, you're welcome. Rocco, I'm looking. We've got a couple other questions we might get to here in a couple minutes. But before we do, because I know what happens, we always get to a really interesting call right at the end. We run up to the last minute, and I don't have time to get in some of the details that I want to get when we do a call like this. Let's talk a little bit about booth numbers again and what they can expect here at the show if they're going to be able to make it to the show. But if they're not going to be able to make it to the show and they have questions about Landstar, what are the other resources as far as getting those questions answered? Phone numbers they can call, are there physical locations that they could go to?
We have orientation centers in, you're really putting me on the spot now, an old guy like me in my memory, but St. Augustine, Florida, Jeffersonville, or Jefferson, Georgia, which is just north of Atlanta, Dallas, Madisonville, Kentucky, Rockford, Illinois, where we have another big operations center. There's one in PA, and I can't remember the name of the little city.
Okay.
So, yes, to answer that question, there are places around where you can do that. Where I would start, though, is a phone call to our center in Rockford. The number there is 877-472-0112. And that number again, 877-472-0112. And those folks can direct you, if you do want to visit one of our centers, they can direct you to the nearest one, including some pretty good directions, which is better than just a city anyway. I also want
right.
to add, at the show tomorrow, stop in, or tomorrow, Friday, whenever you do, stop in booth 12050, mention that you heard us on the podcast tonight, and we'll enter you in a drawing for a Rand McNally IntelliRoute TND 500 GPS system. It's a truck-based GPS system. We'll give one of those away. Just mention that you heard the podcast tonight or whenever you heard it before the end of the show, and we'll enter you in that in that drawing when you stop by.
Fantastic. Hey, I'm just going to jump in with a little complaint here. I don't complain very often, but once in a while. You know, I am starting to get very, very frustrated with people who don't use GPS. We travel a lot. We're all over the place, and we're in new cities all the time, and we've got to make it to, you know, vendors and sponsors and fleets, and I am so dependent on the GPS now because it's such a huge time saver for me. Rather than, you know, look things up the way I used to or call people and ask for directions, and sometimes some people don't give very good directions, and it's such a huge time saver that I use it constantly. And I work with a couple people on a regular basis who just won't seem – I even bought one of them. I'm going to leave his name unmentioned. You know, he's a guy that knows a lot about diesel engines in Pittsburgh, but nobody will know who I'm talking about when I say that. I bought him one for Christmas, and he still doesn't use it. So he'll call me and say, how do I get there? And I have to give him directions. So go stop by, get the GPS, and use it. I mean, it's such a great technology. I'm really starting to get frustrated with people who don't.
It is a great technology, Kevin. I'm going to jump in and sort of disagree for 1 second. It will never replace good final step directions. Here's the driveway. Here's how to get into the right driveway to make your delivery or to make your pickup. I don't ever want to take the human element out of the business that we're in because that's just so important to what we do, and we really stress that with our agents. When you're dispatching a load, give very good, very accurate directions to the shipper and to the consignee that are truck-specific and that just contain sometimes nuances that you wouldn't get from a GPS. And I love them, too, but I'll just put that caveat on.
I will agree with you 100% on truck, especially in the truck. Doc, you know, doc is very different than physical address sometimes.
Right.
So, yeah,
there are locations
absolutely.
Where if you pass the driveway, you're stuck.
You're in trouble.
You don't ever want to get there.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. But I'll tell you a common and really, and I guess I should have said this in the truck, the GPS is one more tool to add to a whole bunch of tools, which includes the phone call and written directions and notes. And, you know, I even take it a step further now. If I'm going to a location like that or when we're doing some planning for events for certain things, when I'm talking to somebody at the location, I also pull up things like Google Earth and kind of verify because, you know, you mentioned this earlier and I'm the same way. When I can see it, it makes much more sense. And, boy, I'll tell you, sometimes to use a tool like Google Earth and to be talking to somebody and go, oh, yeah, I see that driveway. That's the one I need to be going in as I'm taking those final, you know, delivery notes. It's I'm just big on technology and tools. And this week kind of frustrated me because I had people who were calling me while I was trying to get something done. And they were literally on the road, and they didn't know where they were going yet. They're already in the car. They're driving. And they didn't know where the final destination was. So that was just my rant for the call.
Hey, well, good to have it. Again, stop by booth 12050, mention the podcast, and we'll put you in the drawing for that Rand McNally system.
Excellent. Let's take another call. Let's go to Henry in Nebraska. Henry, welcome to the program.
Hello, Kevin. Hello, Rocco. How are you guys doing tonight?
Great, Henry. How are you?
Good.
All right. I own two trucks right now, and I'm ready to get off the road, you know, an early retirement. But I would like to lease my two trucks to Landstar. What's the procedure to do that, you know, to have two drivers drive those two trucks for me?
Well, the procedure is really the same, Henry. You would contact those folks at that number I gave out earlier, 877-472-0112. And there really is no difference in leasing two trucks on as there are leasing one truck on. We're going to verify the experience of the drivers and go through a normal qualification process. But we have a lot of folks who have a couple of trucks, although we are primarily a one-person, one-truck fleet. We have plenty of those.
Oh, okay. Well, that was my question. You know,
what kind of trailers do you have? Trailers, Henry?
No, I don't.
Okay, so it's just the trucks. Yeah, give those folks a call, and they'll be happy to walk you through that process.
All right, and well, thank you very much.
Okay, appreciate the call.
All right, and let's try to squeeze in one more call before we've got to wrap this up. Let's go to California. Matt, welcome to the program.
How are you doing tonight, gentlemen?
Doing great, good. What's on your mind?
Good. Well, Kevin, I have a question for both you guys. First, I just finished up your Course of Action DVD, and I got to thank you very much for that. It was a great tool for me, you know, trying to get into the owner-operator business. Great DVD, so thank you for that. I also thank Lisa. I think Lisa does a lot behind the scenes, but we won't get into that tonight. On that DVD, and this, I guess, sort of pertains to Landstar's system, but on that DVD, you broke down income versus spending in a very short graph, but you set it a certain rate. Well, how would I calculate that with a system like Landstar with the percentage base? How would I kind of figure out how much I can expect to earn?
Yeah, please, go ahead.
One of the things that we do in our orientation, Matt, is we take you through your expenses as they exist today, and we are going to help you come up with a rate per mile. And this is what – I'm sorry, not a rate per mile. This is a monthly income that I need to pay my bills. And then from there, we're going to help you determine how you're going to achieve that income level. And I want to make sure I'm answering the question correctly. If you need feel like you need $4,000 a month to do what we call break even, and when we say break even, there's a profit in there, but if $4,000 a month is the number, then you start to just break that down by week. That means that I need to get to $1,000 a week in a 4-week month. If it's $8,000 a month, then you need $2,000 a week to hit that number. And when you start breaking it down like that, it gets really simple to say it's Monday. I've got a load that pays me $2,000 and delivers on Wednesday. You heard, I think it was Hugh call in from California. He's 2 weeks out. He already knows what his revenue is going to be for the first half of the month in question. So I think I've answered half of the question there.
And let me jump in and finish it, because I used some very generic numbers in the DVD to kind of get you thinking along the lines of, here's what we may be able to gross. If we call a carrier and they say you make X per mile, if we run a fairly tight ship, here's our expenses and here's what we're going to have left. I had to use some pretty generic numbers, because a lot of people are going to look at that. The great thing here is when you start this process with Landstar is you'll be able to get much more specific numbers to fill in that equation. They'll be able to give you some averages. They'll be able to show you loads that are available. You will be able to see some of the discounts that are in the system through the LCAP program. And you'll be able, as you're talking to them, they'll be able to give you those numbers and help you start to fill in the blanks and really get down to the nitty-gritty, much more so than I was able to on the DVD. I kind of gave you the outline of how you would do it. When you start working with them, they're going to give you the specifics to fill in that sheet, that idea, and get a really good idea of what you're going to make.
And, Matt, that'll start at... when you call that phone number and talk to those folks, they can send you some information right now. Here's what's available out of California right now. And then, again, when you get into orientation, we can just get more and more specific. But that's something we want everybody to know. Am I profitable this week, this month, this year. That's just very, very important, and we spend a lot of time on it in orientation.
Awesome. Good stuff. Thanks for clearing that up. That makes sense.
Good.
And it's kind of just another thing that Landstar will help me with. I have one more question, if I got time.
Yeah, we're out. If you're listening online, we're about to end the call, but if you're on the call, we're going to continue on for just another minute or two and get this question in, so go ahead.
All right. I'm going to have about 15 months of over-the-road experience with two winters. I just want to know, I know you guys said every 3 out of 100 applicants get accepted. I'm guessing there's some felons in there and people that roll trucks. If I have a clean record, is there any advice, Rocco, that you can give me that I can sort of put myself at the top to make sure I get in? Because I'm real, real, real interested in Landstar. Any advice for me?
My advice, Kevin, Matt, is to make that phone call and talk to those folks. You sound like a pretty sharp guy. You sound like someone who's interested in making a living and who's interested in doing it safely. You sound like the type of person that we're interested in. If, for whatever reason, you don't have the experience today, there's no harm in making that phone call. You've learned a little bit more about us. We're in Dallas this week. I believe there's a truck show coming up in Charlotte in October. We'll be there. We'll be at Louisville again in March. So there's a lot of opportunities to get in and sit down with somebody and talk about what you need. I'm not a great qualification expert to say, 15 months, sorry, you need 16 months. I'd say, let's get in touch with those folks. If you have it, great, we'll proceed. If you don't, we'll talk to you and stay in touch with you. And when you do have it, we want to talk to you again. Does that make sense? Good answer?
That's good. That's good. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for all your help today. And, Kevin, have a good show on the radio tonight.
Fantastic. Thanks. Rocco, real quick, booth number here at the show and phone number one more time.
Booth number 12050 up near the Pride and Polish stage. I'm going to plug the GPS again. I mentioned that you heard us on the podcast or on the call tonight, and we'll put you your name in the hat to win that at the end of the show. The phone number is 877-472-0112. Again, 877-472-0112.
Fantastic. Rocco, we'll do this again soon, and I want to thank you for coming on and joining me.
Thanks for having me, Kevin. Have a great night.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Good night.
So here's our host, Terry Scruton, who tries each week to make sense of it all.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Diesel Update. Let's get right into it with the numbers from the Energy Information Administration. The national average for the week ending August 23rd is $2.95 a gallon, down 2.2 cents from where it was. I think in a row of price decreases, and hopefully that's a trend that will continue as we move on into the fall months here. Looking across the various regions of the country, we've got drops almost all across the board. There was one region that actually went up this week, and that was the Rocky Mountain region, but it only went up a half a penny. Still, the Rocky Mountain region is sitting at an average of $3.01 per gallon right now, which is a little high for that region, so I'm not really sure what's and I asked you what your favorite truck stop or place to fuel up was, and I got this response from OOIDA member Dalton O'Reilly. Here's what Dalton had to say.
Yeah, you ran a piece about your favorite truck stops, get fuel at, food. Well, this is Dalton O'Reilly, and my favorite places is anything that's a mom-and-pop joint that don't have a big pilot sign or a TA sign flying above it. I hate those places. They've come in and just destroyed the truck stop industry. You know, they got the mentality that they're just going to gouge us for as much money as they can, and they don't care about us. They'd rather have little glass trinkets in there.
Thanks for the call, Dalton, and I suspect you're not alone in those feelings, though maybe not everybody feels quite as strongly as you do. I think that while the big chains do have their place, there's just something a little more special, a little more personal about the old mom-and-pop places out there. So last week we looked at your favorite places to fill up, and if you want to call in on that one still, feel free to let me know. I'd love to hear about it. But this week I want to take a look at the flip side. What's your least favorite place to fill up? Is there a truck stop out there that's just notorious, that everyone tries to avoid? Well, I want to hear about it. Give me a call on the diesel comment line and let me know. The number is 800-324-6856. Call in and make sure when you do, you listen for that prompt that says diesel hotline, and those calls will come right through to me. And you can leave me a message there about diesel fuel or prices or anything else you might be thinking about or have on your mind. Well, that's going to do it for this week's edition of Diesel Update. Until next week, for Landline Now, I'm Terry Spruce. Take Several important dates are coming up in the trucking industry that you need to be aware of. We want to make sure that you have these in mind if they apply to you. You can find information on all of these on our website, Landline Now, under the Industry Calendar button. But in the meanwhile, let's take a look at the Landline Now Community Bulletin Board. Comments are due to the Food and Drug Administration by August 30th regarding food transportation and prevalent practices in the industry. The information is being sought in advance of a possible rulemaking that would establish sanitary transportation practices to be followed by shippers, motor carriers, railroads, receivers, and others engaged in food transportation. We'll have a link on our website to where you can make your comments. Payment of the heavy vehicle use tax, Form 2290, is due by August 31st, just around the corner. The HVUT is required to be in the same name as the owner of the truck and under the owner's federal tax ID number. So if you are a leased owner operator, don't let your carrier file this for you. OOIDA's Permits and Licensing Division can make the filing for you and will promptly return your stamp receipt to you. Department of Environmental Quality. The so-called Go Red program will pay up to 85% of the cost of an APU or similar idle reduction device, a retrofit, or an engine repower. September 12th through the 18th, the CVSA, the Commercial Vehicle Safety Alliance, will conduct its annual Brake Safety Week nationwide. The Delaware Department of Transportation has scheduled a public hearing for 4 to 7 p.m. September 16th at the South District Administration Building in Georgetown, Delaware. The hearing is designed to collect input for the Delaware Capital Transportation Program. The California Highway Patrol will host its 2010 Commercial Vehicle Safety Summit on Sunday, September 19th at the Anaheim Marriott in Anaheim, California. The meeting will take place in conjunction with the annual meeting of the CVSA, and truckers are invited. In addition to discussions about enforcement rules and policies, the patrol will recognize the winners of their new Safe Transportation Achievement Recognition, or STAR Awards program, at the Safety Summit. To pre-register, go to www.chp.ca.gov. Truck owners in the Canadian province of Alberta who take steps to make their trucks more efficient can qualify for rebates from the provincial government. The $2 million rebate program opened June 1st and continues now. Truck owners are eligible if they install trailer skirts, fairings, auxiliary power units, or cab heaters. Rebates run between $300 and $1,500 per vehicle or up to $7,000 for hybrids. The deadline is December 31st. If you need more information about any of these events, just go to our website, landlinenow.com,
and click on the link that says Industry Calendar.
Thank you for calling OOIDA. How may we help you?
This summer, it seems like every single state in the union has a heat wave of epic proportions. Now, sure, it always gets hot in the summer, but we've seen some record weather, and apparently, according to the weather folks, July this year was the hottest July on record. Yet, truckers who are taking their required rest periods are expected to stay inside their sleepers and bake like cookies in an oven. Idling restrictions are popping up like mushrooms after a spring rain. They seem like they're everywhere. The situation has more than a few people boiling, and not from the heat. But this trucker and others are thinking about how to address the situation. Here's what that one trucker had to say in a call to our listener comment line.
Is this James Williams from Oklahoma? I think if OIDA took the stimulator down to these cities that have these anti-idling ordinances and invited the city leaders to come out and sit in the truck when it's 116 in the sun, that a lot of these anti-idling ordinances would go away, because it's against the law for a child to be left in a locked car, but it's not against the law for a truck driver to be locked up in his truck. And until these people know what it's like to sit in a truck when it's 116, they're not going to do nothing about it, and they're not going to care about us. So I appreciate it. Listen to you every night, every day. Thank you.
Well, James, the simulator is probably not the right vehicle to send down. Ron Mermis has an APU, so it's quite comfortable inside that truck. It would be better to send a truck that's more typical of what we see on the road. No idle-free device and a sleeper with few ways to get a breeze through it. Of course, that leaves us with a few big problems, one of which is getting those city leaders to agree to go inside that truck. But it is an interesting idea and one worthy of some additional consideration. In any case, thank you for the suggestion. Should we increase the fuel tax to pay for highway work? Should we have a vehicle miles travel tax? Where do tolls fit into this? And where else could we get money to pay for our highways? Members of Congress and other public officials are asking these questions every single day. So do truckers, and this one has some answers as well.
Yeah, this is Terry Morton, OIDA member from Washington State. I just called about the question about paying more sales tax on the diesel, and I wouldn't have a problem paying more tax on the diesel if they would apply all the tax to the roads and quit spending it elsewhere. If all the money that was supposed to go to the roads went to the roads and we needed more to take care of them, then I'd be willing to pay a little more. But as long as it's being squandered away to other things, no, we already pay too much to just have it squandered away. Thank you.
Very well said, Terry. And it's a point that can't be made too often. Thanks for sharing that. If you want to make some points or share your opinion about any topic in the trucking industry, you can do it by calling our listener comment line. That number is ready to take your calls right now at 1-800-324-6856. Again, that's 1-800-324-6856. Remember, however, that this is an automated line we've set up so you can leave comments for use on our show. For anything else you need, call the main number here at OOIDA, 816-229-5791. We'll be back in just a moment with more of the show.
This is Sirius and XM Satellite Radio.
What happens when 125 laps to go?
The worlds of NASCAR races.
This is Jimmy Johnson from Rock and Roll.
Hey, this is Chris Robinson.
Merge. SiriusXM debuts a brand new show, Intersect. This week featuring four-time NASCAR champ Jimmy Johnson and Black Crowes singer Chris Robinson. Talking racing, getting rowdy, and rocking out. Intersect.
You could let me drive and I'll let you sing a concert.
That would be terrible.
Intersect. This Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern, only on the Spectrum. Sirius 18.
Live from Progressive.
Welcome to
Truck Talk.
We're on with Ed.
Hi, Flo. Is it true that you're the number one truck insurer?
That's a big 10-4. More truckers choose us than any other company.
So if Progressive's number one and I get Progressive, that kind of makes me number one.
Feels good to be a winner, huh, Ed?
To insure your vehicles with the leader in truck insurance, call your local independent agent or visit ProgressiveCommercial.com. United Financial Casualty Company, affiliates, Springfield Village, Ohio, available to state market position from Highline Data's 2007 written premium data.
National Debt Crisis Center is a referral agency for relief services.
The National Debt Crisis Center. How can I help you?
Yeah, I just heard on the radio you can reduce my credit card payment by up to half.
Yes, we can.
Even though I'm already behind on my payments?
Yes.
Even though I owe more than $5,000?
Yes.
So what's the catch?
Catch?
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be a catch.
No catch. With the National Debt Crisis Center, you simply have the right to reduce your monthly payments by up to half.
Yeah, now you should be getting Mike. Okay. Perfect, thanks. All right, bye.
Did you say free information? That's a good thing.
That's right. If you have over $5,000 in credit card debt, call the National Debt Crisis Center and discover how you can reduce your credit card payment by up to half. For free information, call 1-800-900-0193. That's 1-800-900-0193. 1-800-900-0193.
My girlfriends and I decided we needed a spontaneous girls' weekend in Miami. We saved enough for GetARoom.com to stay an extra night. Now we're all in the doghouse. But it was worth it.
At GetARoom.com, we offer unpublished hotel rates in major cities that are lower than other travel websites. Plus, for a limited time, get an additional $25 off by calling 1-800-406-7439. Why pay more? That's 1-800-406-7439. GetARoom.
Truckers, we know you can't afford to waste time at a weigh station. That's why you need PrePass. With PrePass, highway sensors check your weight and certification that you drive highway speed. If everything checks, a green light on your dash lets you know you keep on driving. Try it for free. We guarantee you're going to want PrePass along on every haul. Go to PrePass.com and enter the promo code FREE or call 888-599-PASS. That's 888-599-PASS. 888-599-7277.
Landline Now, welcome back. Terry Scruton here with you once again. And yesterday saw primary elections in several states and some pretty significant developments that could have an impact on the upcoming general elections in November. And here with us to discuss those results and their meaning is Mike Joyce of OOIDA's Washington, D.C. office. Mike, how you doing today?
I'm doing great today, Terry. It's great to be with you. And before we get started, I want to wish a special happy birthday to the guy behind the scenes that makes Landline Now work, our own Barry Stillman. So I want to thank him but wish him a wonderful happy birthday today.
Yes, it is Barry's birthday. Happy birthday to you, Barry.
And he's shaking his head right now in many different directions, wondering what the heck we're talking about. Happy birthday, Barry.
So, Mike, let's talk about these primary elections. What states are we talking about here? Where were they yesterday?
These were in five states yesterday, and they were Arizona, Alaska, Florida, Oklahoma, and Vermont. The three first states that I mentioned there, Arizona, Alaska, and Florida, were interesting. Some of the results very interesting and significant on a national level. And so we continue to look at those, and I say that because some of the results from those state elections still are not in at this point in time.
Oh, okay. Which ones are still not in? Do we know?
Well, we're still waiting in Arizona. We're still waiting in Alaska. For the race for the Senate seat, the open Senate seat there, which is currently held by Senator Lisa Murkowski. Lisa Murkowski is in her second term. She won the last election with about 49% of the vote. She has been, very helpful on certain issues here in Washington, D.C. She's a Republican. She serves as the ranking Republican or the ranking member on the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee. And, again, she's been very helpful. She was going up against a gentleman by the name of Joe Miller, who was a very underfunded candidate, didn't have a lot of money, but he did receive the endorsement of Sarah Palin right before the primary Right now, that race has yet to be called. It appears that there are absentee ballots or votes that still have to be counted, and it may take a number of weeks before we get the final result in that Alaskan senatorial GOP primary.
Well, the interesting thing about Arizona, Alaska and Arizona, is that they both involve the 2008 Republican candidates for president and vice president. Obviously, you mentioned Sarah Palin was involved directly in the Alaska election, but then Arizona obviously is the home to Senator John McCain.
Yeah, I don't think it can be understated that this anti-incumbent, kind of anti-Washington, throw-the-bums-out mentality still does exist among voters. I mean, I don't think it's dissipated very much. I think there's still some frustration with Washington and the Obama administration. You know, if Senator Murkowski loses in this primary bid, she will become the third Senate incumbent to have failed in her reelection attempt. The other two preceding her were Bob Bennett, a Republican in Utah, and Senator Arlen Specter, who was a Republican, changed to be a Democrat, but lost to Representative Joe Sestak in Pennsylvania in the Senate Democratic primary in Pennsylvania. So she would be the third if she does, in fact, lose that primary. You mentioned Arizona, and Arizona is interesting. There was Senator John McCain is up for reelection this year. He was in a very tough primary race against a former six-term member of Congress, a gentleman by the name of J.D. Hayworth. J.D. Hayworth, you would have thought would have been a logical Tea Party candidate, and in fact he did really command a large percentage of the Tea Party vote. But in the end, Sarah Palin, John McCain's vice presidential running mate in the last election, the 2008 presidential election, endorsed Senator McCain. You know, Senator McCain did have a large war chest. He outspent J.D. Hayworth some 8-1 in the spending. But, you know, spending didn't rule the day either. You know, we've seen some other candidates that spent money but were not successful in the race.
Now, we've talked about Arizona and Alaska. What about the other states? What happened there?
You know, the other state that was of most interest was Florida, and there's a race right now for an open Senate seat in Florida, and the three names that you're going to hear going into November in Florida are Charlie Crist, the governor of Florida currently, who was running as a Republican but converted to run as an independent when he realized that he wasn't going to win the Republican primary in Florida. But Charlie Crist won the independent vote in Florida. He will be on the ballot in November for that Senate seat. Marco Rubio is the Tea Party candidate, the GOP, the Republican candidate for that Senate seat. And Kendrick Meeks, who's a member of the House of Representatives, a Democrat, was in a very, very difficult race against somebody that spent $20 million of their own money, a guy by the name of Jeff Green, who's a billionaire. Again, spent $20 million of his own money. Kendrick Meeks actually pulled out the win in Florida for the Democratic nomination. He did have President Bill Clinton's support in the final days of the primary down there, which helped